And I'm reading from Luke today. We hear the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. The judge in this parable condemns himself by claiming that he has no fear of God and no respect for anyone. The role of the judge was to pronounce God's judgment for his people, to listen to disputes that arose among the people and decide on God's behalf, without aid of a jury, the right recourse. For this judge to announce boldly that he has no fear of God and no respect of anyone immediately tells us that he is not fit for his position. He is a bad guy. He needs to rethink his role and worry about his soul. The widow, on the other hand, is persistent. Remember, widows had a special place in this culture. Time and again, God's people are told to care for the widows and orphans. Widows subsist on the goodwill of others. They have no direct benefactor. Any estate that was left by their husbands went directly to his surviving brothers, who should provide for this widow, but might not. We might expect a widow to be persistent in her demand for justice. The downtrodden tend to be persistent in their cry to be treated fairly, to have the tables turned around, to get their day in court, their due. In Luke's telling of this story, we are immediately drawn in to support the widow. Although we don't have any facts in the case, although we have no information about who the widow's opponent is or what her grievance is against this opponent, we know that this judge is ill-suited to his position. He is mean-spirited, and so we side with the widow. We join in her plea for justice. She is the underdog, and we want to see the underdog win, especially when the underdog is up against an unjust opponent. As the story unfolds, we assume that the judge does in fact concede and grant her justice. He says that he will, although the follow-through on that is never mentioned. He merely has an internal dialogue in which he decides to grant this woman justice to avoid her wearing him out by continually coming. The more literal translation to that phrase is, so that she will not slap me in the face. Either way, the judge concedes to avoid further dealings with this woman. Not because her cause is worthy and warrants just action, which it probably does, but because he wants to avoid further battering. Jesus breaks into the parable here, saying, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? This almost infers that if we badger God enough, we will get what we want. Almost being the key word here. This is not an allegory about God. God is not the unjust judge. God is the most just judge. Still, there is an urge for persistence, persistence in prayer, which is our way of communicating with God. How do we pray? That was a question that the disciples answered Jesus and asked Jesus, and his response was the form of prayer that we now have and know as the Lord's Prayer. Pray without ceasing is what Paul told the church in Thessalonica. But how can we pray without ceasing when we don't even know how to pray? And if we pray more, does that increase the likelihood of our prayers being answered? Do the words of the parable and the words of Paul encourage us to badger God with our prayers? There is a difference in persistence in prayer and nagging or badgering God. Remember, God is not the unjust judge. You know, there are no more persistent people on earth than telemarketers. And while we are certainly not as just as God, we know that the more they call, the more frustrated we become. There's a difference between persistence and badgering. So, should we bother God with what we view as our trivial needs and concerns? Do we now find ourselves in a bind, not knowing how much to pray or what is a worthy prayer? Do we not know how much to pray versus what God would consider nagging? To think like that is to make God's ways our ways and God's thoughts our thoughts. God knows our thoughts, our needs, our prayers, even before we give voice to them. So why bother, you might ask? If God knows my thoughts, my needs, my prayers, before I can even give voice to them, why even bother giving voice to them? Because prayer is not just how we communicate with God, but it is also how God communicates with us. When we enter into prayer, when we voice our deepest longings, our deepest gratitude to God, we enter into relationship with God. And that is God's deepest longing. When we look with it throughout history at the relationship between God and God's people, what we see is God is, in fact, persistent. God has persistently sought to be in relationship with his people. God has persistently loved and cared for his people, and God has persistently called his people to be in that same relationship with him. Our way of being in relationship with God is through prayer, where we seek God and have faith that God hears our prayers, cares for us, and wants only what is best for us. When we reach out to God in prayer, we open ourselves to God. We give God the opportunity to reach back to us. The church teaches that there are five forms of prayer: adoration, confession, petition, intercession, and thanksgiving. William Heathcott, retired homiletics professor at Swanee School of Theology, notes that the primary form of prayer is adoration, and that the other four forms are subsumed by adoration, adoration being acknowledgement of God's majesty. In confessing our sins and shortcomings, in asking on behalf of ourselves and others, and in giving thanks to God, we acknowledge God's power and majesty. And in doing so, are offering prayers of adoration. The form that these prayers take is not what's important. The fact that we enter into relationship with God, that we persist in faith, that God will hear and respond to our prayers, is what is important. One of my spiritual directors once said, "You would not claim to be friends with someone if you've never had a conversation with them, would you? You cannot be in relationship with God if you never communicate with him." And the way that we communicate with God is through prayer. Our prayers in the Book of Common Prayer are beautiful. Some are ancient and some are newer. The words have been crafted with great skill. Just 2 weeks ago, we gathered with the words, "Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray. We give more than we either desire or deserve." We know that to be true, that God is more ready to hear than we are to pray. We're insecure in our prayers. We don't trust that we can do it right. What if we embarrass ourselves in prayer? What if we don't use the right words or have the correct posture for prayer? There is no singularly right way to pray. And there is definitely no wrong way to pray unless Our prayers are not prayers to God, but an attempt to manipulate God to do our will. Be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in your relationship with God. Have faith that God is always more ready to hear than we are to pray, knowing that the form is not nearly as important as the relationship. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he assures us, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Even when we do not know how to pray, when we are uncertain and insecure, God's Spirit is there to intercede on our behalf. That is very good news. Be persistent. Be in relationship with God. Amen.